your crown. Be trampled in the streets. Oh, America, don't let your name go down in such defeat. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the God's word was your standard. How gradually you've compromised, how far you finally wandered. For the years of silent apathy, to God we now repent. For the years of work we might have done, that's already now been spent. America, America, the tide is rising fast. Don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the to be land needs Jesus now. If he's confined within the church, its walls will crumble down. We must awake, we must arise for his kingdom to secure. We know the battle has been won. Yes, the victory is sure. America, the tide is rising fast. Now don't you think it's time now to remember your great past? America, America, now the tide can still be turned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. Just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, May 16th, 2026, when we say welcome. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
Well, thanks for being here, guys. Will, would you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
You bet. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather with these men this morning to talk about the events of the day and how it affects your church. And, Lord, I do pray for our church. I pray for Jacob Israel, no matter where they may be scattered throughout the entire world. And, Lord, I just pray that your word, your voice, will be heard by them, and Lord, that you will use us as instruments to do so, to deliver that word and to deliver that message. Bless those that are listening to us, Lord, and I pray, God, that you will be with us for the next couple of hours, and just grant mercy on your people, Lord. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, there's a lot of stuff that's happened in the last week since we were here last. Where do you guys want to start?
Well, there, I pushed the right button.
I was going to say, Tim's awful quiet over there.
I really wasn't, but it was like, as usual with the China visit and everything else, we're seeing things kind of heat up with the, what is it, the war that's not a war, or whatever we call it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's some interesting things going on there.
Was there anything really accomplished in that, Tim? I'll claim ignorance on it. I know Trump and his entourage was meeting with I don't know his official title. I'll just call it Chairman Xi, Xi, whatever his name is. I'm assuming what was going on in Jinping? Yeah, was this about Iran or what was going on there?
Well, basically, yeah, they were talking about the Strait of Hormuz through that whole thing, or supposedly.
Okay.
I'm sure there was lots of ground covered that we don't know about, you know what I'm saying? But the majority of oil for China goes through that strait. So when the strait is closed, or just as it, you know, like it is, that's creating a pretty severe pinch on China's energy flow, which they don't basically want. And I'm sure there's some things going on there thought-wise, like, well, less energy means less ability to wage conflict with anyone else and things like that. But I'm sure that was a, you know, let's smooth the waters or, you know, try to, I mean, supposedly, if you read Trump's statements about what came out of there, and then you read the Beijing's statements, they don't necessarily align with each other. I mean, the Chinese people seem to speak a different language, especially in diplomatic circles, than we do. Our takeaways are sometimes different than theirs, but you know, it's. I think it was just hey, we want to make sure you understand. This isn't about you. We're not closing the strait to put pressure on China. We're putting pressure on that regime over there in Iran. And, you know, that's my thinking on it, but who knows? I mean,
I caught one little snippet. And it was just a snippet. I didn't really read into it. That it came out of the White House that there was some preliminary, negotiations of China purchasing oil from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That got me to thinking. Maybe they're trying to sway China away from that region. I don't know. It's interesting. I definitely I think it's interesting that a wedge be the right word? That it, maybe the White House is trying to put a wedge in between China and Russia and the Middle East? I don't know. We'll see.
It does kind of go back to BRICS. I mean, I felt that way over a whole bunch of this stuff. I mean, when you think about it, it's the relevancy of the petrodollar and power plays and different things like that to some degree. I mean, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure that plays into it. Like I say, there's probably several things there that we're not privy to that we're, talked about, but it is kind of like why don't you just buy oil? I know you're BRICS, but why don't you just buy oil from us, you know?
Right.
But,
or at least at least some oil. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I did see that one of the things that they opened up that meeting with was the fact that they were going to allow American imports of beef back into China. I caught that. That was kind of like one of their concessions because, as I understood it up to this point, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, but that was where I got it, was there was no imports currently going to China of American beef. So,
one way street. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
That was also significant. One of the things I read was Trump didn't eat any Chinese food while he was there. He took his own chefs and they cooked the food that they brought with them. So, I don't know the significance of that, but it's interesting. Yeah. So, but it,
I know there was a row with the Secret Service and Chinese, I think they were Chinese military. Did you guys catch that?
I didn't. I don't think.
Yeah, there was, Trump and his entourage was going to visit some pagan, heathen temple over there that has some historical significance. And, the Chinese officials would not allow the, Secret Service agent to walk in because he had a gun. And this shut things down for 2.5 hours where they were trying to come up with a solution of what to do here. And I found that interesting of, my understanding is wherever the president travels, obviously Secret Service is with them in their arm at all times. And that's kind of the diplomatic agreement in different countries. Gave the appropriate permissions. But it seems like that kind of stuff would have worked out for me.
You were breaking up real bad. There you are.
I'm breaking up, Jason?
Yeah, you were, and I think, but you're back now.
Yes. Okay. I apologize. I'm sort of off grid. Hopefully I'm coming in all right.
There you are.
It's working now.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Repeat that. Go back about 30 seconds.
No, I don't know at what point I started breaking up, but it was, diplomatic agreements when it's time to for the Secret Service to travel with the president or whatever, but I guess it wasn't completely hammered out of where they could and could not go while armed, and I think they got that pretty much squared away.
Interesting.
But it took 2.5 hours in the moment. You know, and mentioning that, just sort of, you know, Tim, you had mentioned BRICS, and I don't know if you guys got to see this or not, but talking about armed and foreign countries and that sort of stuff, Russia, their legislative body is the Duma, D-U-M-A, and they just passed a law. It was approved with 85% of the votes to use the Russian military anywhere in the world, and here's the quote, to provide armed assistance to Russians who find themselves in difficult situations abroad. That's really open for interpretation, isn't it?
Yeah, I read that article, and that one sure did not make any sense to me. I thought, okay, did I miss something? And I went back and read it again, and it's like, okay, am I still missing something? And it's like, how is this going to work?
Yeah, no, I picked it up on a couple of different news outlets trying it, because the first article that I read, I thought, well, this doesn't make a bunch of sense. And then I read another article, I think it was the Daily Mirror or English paper or something, and it didn't make any sense in that one either. So it wasn't like something was lost in translation. It is so broad. I started thinking, so if you got a guy that's over here, as a tourist from Russia, And he gets picked up for, I don't know, driving under the influence. Does that mean the Russian military is going to come and invade whatever jurisdiction? I mean, that I don't know. It just is a. I don't think I've quite ever seen a foreign country pass such a law. It just is. It's kind of unique.
And the thing is it like you said, it was so broad. They leave it open to basically. Anything. And I did the same thing. I read it. I thought, okay, this article doesn't make much sense. And I looked at another one and it didn't make much sense. And I'm trying to figure this out. And it's like, okay, how can an army, go in basically? And that's all it said was abroad, anywhere and help, its citizens out. It's like, That's kind of one of the risks that you take when you travel outside of your own country.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling, one of the quotes I thought was interesting was one of the chairmen of the Duma, Vacheslav Volodin, his quote was Western, and he said justice, quote unquote, has become a repressive machine for cracking down on those who disagree with the decisions imposed by European officials. Under these circumstances, it's essential to do everything possible to protect our citizens abroad. That was the quote. And so I'm thinking, and again, this is, there's differences in the way we interpret things from one country or one continent to another, but I would assume that this is directed toward, the European Union, the EU, sure. In that they've become rather draconian about freedom of speech, about those sort of things. And I mean, so wherever you are over there, particularly in that on the European continent, they're subject to being interdicted or whatever, or arrested just for, different things, or just because they're Russian, or whatever.
Right.
And so this is a way of not declaring war on the EU, but of saying, if you continue with this line of reasoning, we may bring military pressure to bear against you.
And that's a really good point, Tim, because, we've chronicled here on Saturday mornings over the last several months all of the war drums that the EU has been banging against Russia, with France and Germany and these other countries, saying that they had to prepare for a war, and it's a war against Russia. So it's interesting that maybe this is a defensive measure by Russia to protect their citizens abroad from these European countries that are viewing them as the enemy. I don't know. I mean, that's a good point, though. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Well, and it doesn't bear the same weight as declaring war against those countries, but it does say, hey, if you do this, we can do this. So dick in a sack, whatever. maybe I don't know. That's what my takeaway on. Let's put it that way.
Sure,
my takeaway. So, because I didn't see too much about it anywhere else. And I did think it was interesting they used the word Western justice, which usually implies kind of America or, our continents over here. But then the next words we're talking about European officials. So I don't know. And that could be a translation thing for all I know. But
sure.
Anyways, yeah, there's just so much going on over there. And then you've got, I read Zelensky, he's over there shutting churches down, the United or the Russian Orthodox Church. He doesn't want it. It probably just got the name Russian in it, right? Or,
yeah.
I don't know. Some operating
in Ukraine. They're, I guess the Ukraine is making law, so to speak, and trying to outlaw these churches, but this is nothing new. And I'll kind of make a halfway joke, but it's not really a joke. I think it has something to do with Zelensky being Jewish, because as we know, the Israelis love to bomb Orthodox churches in Lebanon, and that's what Zelensky has been doing for the last 4 years since all this Donnybrook started over there. Anyways, that one of the first targets of attack by the Ukrainian government was Russian Orthodox churches in the Ukraine. There was many, many stories going back, 4 years ago of the Ukrainian military taking over Orthodox monasteries and blowing up churches and that sort of thing. And I just remember when everybody was flying their yellow and blue flags, and they were standing with Ukraine, and here, at least around me, I saw several churches that were flying the Ukrainian flag in front of their churches. One that I remember, they erected a plywood 4x8 hand painted Ukrainian flag up in front of their church, and I just thought, they're killing Christians on purpose. This is their war strategy, is they're destroying churches and killing Christians, and here we have American churches flying the flag of these folks. And I started thinking about this. It's kind of what we're doing with the Israeli flag. All of these people that are flying that rag, with the blue star and all of that. You have these Judeo-Christian churches that are backing that because, they're brainwashed and they're told to. And it's a government that is killing Christians systematically and destroying churches. And isn't it funny? And I don't mean ha-ha funny, but isn't it funny that it's the same old thing from the same old usual suspects, that they have convinced a segment of Americans that this is the team you need to back, and those Americans are the Judeo-Christians, and the teams are murdering Christians. It kind of blew my mind when I thought about it that way.
Yeah, well, I was looking at through that article on there, and of course, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney and two American congressional representatives they were talking heads about Ukraine. Canada just announced on, I think it was May 4th, $270 million of military support to Ukraine. Never mind the fact that Canada's in deep duty financially anyways, but they got $270 million to send over there, Then we have Representative Mike Turner and Representative Frank Pallone, and they're all talking about. But I was looking at some of their quotes. It's funny how these talking heads often say the same thing. It's about upholding the principles of freedom and democracy and sovereignty. And those are oxymorons. Democracy immediately destroys freedom and sovereignty. And then they talk about the rule of law. There's no rule of law in a democracy. It's just whoever votes whatever way they want. We talk about, well, they don't like the rules, they change them. Welcome to democracy. All you have to do is vote it out. It's different now. So that's a, well, and even in the article I was reading, the guy said, a Canadian prime minister, a Democrat congressman, and a Republican congressman, that's like, pretty much all the major players on the same page, don't all use the same messaging by coin. This is a scripted narrative. And it is. I mean, we see it in the mainstream news and all the time where they, it's like someone spoon-fed them this whole deal. They don't really know anything about it. They're just saying what they're supposed to say. So, it's astounding to me that let's destroy the churches, let's destroy Christianity, and it's all legal because we voted on it, So
that's there's a law.
So
crazy stuff.
I think they passed that rule back in like 20, I think he signed that. He signed that 2024 or something like that. I think it was
2024. So, yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yep. Anyways, and keep in mind, just for Zelensky's government broke their own constitution because he should not be the president right now. There should have been an election in 2024, and he suspended all elections. And in my book, in my dictionary, that's called a dictator, where he suspended the constitution and suspended elections so that he could continue to do what he's doing. So Americans, historically, we don't like dictators, but I guess we're starting to embrace that more and more. So that's kind of a scary prospect in itself.
Well, and I wondered
that, the other thing.
Well, I was just, kind of off of a side note, but I saw that the a NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, he proposed to give Zelensky, Ukraine, a 0.25% of, what was it, 0.25% of all of the GDP for Ukraine. And it's so that, roughly, that would be equivalent to $143 billion. Which would be equal to the yearly defense budget for Russia, which is around $145 billion. $16 billion more than Germany's defense budget, which is $127 billion. I mean, you're talking a lot of money. And, boy, sure. They get that, what are they going to do? I mean... Yeah, I just think it's ridiculous. I mean,
circles back, Jason. Yeah, that circles back to what we were talking about, is this EU war with Russia. So if they're going to essentially fund Ukraine to continue a war with Russia, that's the EU being at war with Russia.
It is. Yep, that's the way I see it. And what, are they going to bomb more churches? I mean, who knows? I mean... It's just crazy. It's insanity.
It's just war by proxy. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll just use them. Yeah, so, and I think that, and it's funny how nobody quite wants to, I mean, really, the Russian vote on military personnel in these situations that we were just talking about earlier, that is really close to calling it out, saying, hey, you guys want to play this game, we're going to play too, you know, so you want to do a veiled, I mean, that's a veiled threat. And this whole thing is a money laundering, power grabbing mess. I mean, you know, when you look at it, they just, change the rules, vote however they want, do whatever they want. And, they put this clown mask on it of it being legitimate from the standpoint. Well, we voted on it. That's the way it was. But all democracies always end in, you know, monarchies or, you know, supreme power in one individual or in one bad party. And that's historical. I mean, and these countries, historically, they never are destroyed because of overt war action is a majority rule. They're destroyed because of financial pressure or power. You know,
that's right.
And that's really, you need to look at the word they're voting. That when you see that word democracy, that's a coup word. That's what that amounts to. I mean, because it means, well, we're going to go in and we're going to do a coup d'etat, or we're going to do, you know, whatever, and we're going to vote it in. And if you control the vote counting, you can steer it any way you want, and then it's all about the money, and once the debt reaches a certain point, they wring it out and discard it like an old, you know, hamburger wrapper or something. So, seen it happen before, usual suspects, and it's gone on. It's just going on again. So,
well, let me throw this out for y'all's consideration, kind of another crinkle in the French fry. We know what has happened in mainland Europe as far as the great brown invasion over the last 10-12 years. And whether it be the Ukrainians fighting the Russians or the Russians fighting mainland Europe or some combination thereof, at the end of the day, these are all our cousins. This is Jacob Israel going to war with itself. Now, obviously, there's you know, chess pieces being pushed on a board to cause this war, you know, like Tim, what you were just saying, by the usual suspects. And so you're going to have a generation of young men that are leaving mainland Europe to go wherever, whether it's the Russian front or a Northern European front, to kill each other. Well, the Great Brown Invasion, those people are not being conscripted into the military to go get killed. However, they will be left in the countries. So as our people are going and killing each other off, isn't that part of just the Great Replacement? That they're not going back home, but there's going to be a lot of invaders, aliens, that are there to... I don't know, marry the women, create the next generation, repopulate what is Jacob Israel's ancestral homeland. I mean, if you really stop and think about it that way, that's just one more aspect of potentially what could be happening. And I'll tell you guys, I think it's plotted out and planned out that way. I really do. I think that's when you're moving pieces on chessboard, right? It's incrementalism, and I think that's why those people went there. I think they went there to economically break the nation. And typically, when you see nations get into a financial oppression or depression, the way most of Europe is, that's a great time for war. And when war happens, our people die. And when our people die, these folks are going to be waiting in the wings to take up the land. And I don't think that's by accident. I think it's playing straight out of the pits of hell.
Yeah. Well, it's in the Bible. I mean, whenever God put Israel into bondage, usually those guys picked them up and moved them somewhere else. You know, and there were different thoughts and. The Bible talks about the conspiracies, except they weren't. They were actual facts to kill their offspring, to kill their men, to kill their people, you know. And it's like anything from male babies to, you know, adult age men, destroy their older people so there was no what do you want to call it, knowledge base, I guess. People call it, you know, no historical reference point. So it's not a new thing. I mean, it's been going on. It's just we have more technological involvement probably now than we used to have, but it's still an issue. So it's still happening, right?
Yeah.
I think it all ties together. I think this Ukrainian European situation ties right in with the Iranian and Gaza situation over there, and this little bastard state of the Israelites. And, you know, like Will was talking about a little earlier with flying these flags and everything. I mean, that star on that flag is not, it's never mentioned in the Bible as the Star of David. It's the Star of Moloch or the Star of, you know, it goes. Those things are, they do not worship our God, and they do not care about your God, obviously, just like when you see them destroying churches and Christians and putting all this on people, it's all, that's where we go with it. And then they name it, when they do all that, why, it's for democracy.
Yep.
So, which... Really, I always go back to these, a lot of these words that Pastor Peter's talking about, terrible terror, you know, the terrible terrors, and how these words kind of have different things. But, you know, the word demon's pretty much encroached in democracy. I mean, it's there, and it sure seems like the history of that is one of oppression, and, you know, it's especially Christian oppression. It's not a good thing.
Do you think the preachers that are in the pulpits of these Orthodox churches in Lebanon and Ukraine, do you think they're telling their parishioners that they have to bless Israel?
That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah,
I bet not. I mean, you stop and think about it. That's just what we're, you know, I guess people over here are told, right? I would venture to say that that is probably a very unique American idea of Christianity. I don't think that that's shared worldwide.
Yeah, the whole philosophy of Judeo-Christian, you know, styling is kind of one of our things. Or one of them. Yeah. Not in a good way.
No, for doggone sure.
Well, and I was just reading chapter 1 in Zephaniah this morning, and boy, it sure sounds like what's going on. I mean, I don't want to take anything out of context, but just speaking about the usual suspects and things going on before, but you want to read something interesting, and it talks about Gaza, and it talks about all these different places over there. Zephaniah 1's pretty interesting about how God's taking care of that, how they were oppressing his people, you know, and what he's going to do about it. And actually what got me started on that was you don't hear much out of the book of Zephaniah. It's really rare, you know, it's like, so there you go.
Yep.
But anyway,
It's funny how that works, isn't it, Tim? That all of those, you know, I've even heard them referred to as lesser prophets and lesser books of the Bible or whatever. Like you know, don't pay attention to those, and then you pay attention to them and say, "Those dirty bastards." That's the reason they didn't want me to pay attention to it.
Yeah. Oh, there is some stuff in there that's relevant. They're irrelevant.
Right.
They're minor prophets.
Minor prophets.
Yeah. To them, maybe. Yeah, no doubt. Kind of moving on over there to Gaza, I see Netanyahu's is still insisting the Iran war, which, is it a war or is it not? I mean, I just have to ask that all of that. It's not over, though.
Yeah.
And so.
I think he's right.
Oh yeah,
I don't think it's over. It's funny in what Netanyahu was saying there. You know, he was talking about he thinks Trump wants to go into Iran and remove the uranium that's supposedly under all of this rubble and that sort of stuff. And you know, Trump himself is saying that. So, I mean, obviously, I think there's some credence to what Netanyahu is saying. But to me, Tim, the real question is there any uranium there in the first place?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is just this the next excuse to go do the next thing?
Well, and my question is okay, you want to go get theirs? Why don't you get rid of yours, too, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's like and I agree with you. Is it there? I have no. Yeah. I mean, we had what Kent saying, it's not a problem. What was his first name? Joe.
Yep.
Was it Joe Kent talking about that?
Joe Kent. Joe Kent.
Yeah, they didn't like what he had to say. So it does leave one with the questions.
Not to mention, and I know we've talked about this, and I always screw up the acronym, but I think it's the IAEA, the International Association of, no, I don't remember. The UN body that governs nuclear energy, atomic energy. There you go. That's it. It's the International Association. I don't remember the atomic energy. They have repeatedly said that Iran, the type of uranium and what they're doing is for energy purposes, that it is not the right type of refinery to produce weapons grade uranium. And, you know, going back on that, I just a brief historical, I guess, to put this in context, I recently learned that going back into the 1950s, the late 1950s, that is when Iran started their atomic energy pursuits. And get this, they were working with the Israelis. There were Israeli scientists that was helping the Shah develop their atomic program in order to produce atomic energy in Iran. They wanted to be the Middle Eastern poster boy for you know, nuclear energy, clean atomic energy to power their entire country. So the uranium, more than likely, that was introduced into Iran 70 years ago came from Israel and probably the United States. That's the interesting, because, you know, all radioactive material, they give off a radioactive signature, and part of the what this UN body does is they catalog the radiological signature. That way they know where it came from, essentially. And it's interesting to me, are they trying to destroy that to cover their own tracks? I don't know, but I do know that Iran has submitted to inspection by this international body of their uranium. Israel never has, not one time. And I like pointing that out, that, you know, we're being told by this one group of people that these people are bad because of this. Well, so are you. The difference is one country was allowing inspection and the other wasn't. But anyway.
Well, it is interesting that another thing I don't understand, this is a side note, just one of those, you know, like, and Iran joined that, the IAEA in September of 1958. Their joining date, I looked it up, was the 16th of September. So they've been involved, like you say. Israel actually joined it in 1957, but they've never had any on-site inspections or let them in. The other side note to me that is of interest, or just one of those questioning minds want to know, is why is it always uranium that has to be used? You know, there are other isotopes out there that work fine, that have a faster decay rate, that are cheaper and easier and safer to handle. You've got things like thorium. You've got things like different stuff like that. Now, we're always going to play with the one that is the most lethal thing that we can find, you know. So it's just a strange thing to me that stuff goes on. I mean, how come it's always got to be uranium, which can be enriched in plutonium? So, I mean, wouldn't it seem, you can't make a bomb out of thorium. You can't enrich it to that point. It's cheap. It's readily available. So why would you not promote that? Sounds to me like maybe there's an ulterior motive there. You know what I'm saying? And it's not about free, clean energy. It's about control and about the possibility of, you know, those sort of things. doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it make it? It makes me wonder always.
I agree.
Well, you know, it's like somebody wants to go hunting, and so you hand them a howitzer instead of a, you know, 308 or something. play with this. So, yeah, it just creates future problems. So,
I'll just throw this out there, and I mean, it may be a far stretch, but you're talking about why uranium and why the use of uranium, you know, in the Book of Enoch, we were told that the fallen angels corrupted the humanity by an important forbidden knowledge, right? And I wonder if that's a continuation of that, of instead of using these other things, you know, this is what they know to use for whatever the purpose. That's supposedly what happened. You know, that they were taught to manipulate and, you know, extract earthly materials to be used as weapons and that sort of thing. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a
thought.
I hadn't thought of that, but that makes a lot of sense. I wonder if that was part of that forbidden knowledge and stuff that was actually taught by them. That'd be interesting. It'd
be about right.
It'd be about right. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, what about what's going on over in Cuba?
Man, this is fascinating the heck out of me. I don't know about you guys, but they're out of fuel. The United States has more or less been running an embargo, and I guess earlier this week they announced that there's no more fuel, the lights are off and the cars aren't running and that sort of thing. And then you hear, I think it was yesterday, Friday, the Department of Justice is saying they're going to hand down a federal indictment of Raul Castro, who is Fidel Castro's 94-year-old brother, from an incident that happened in 1996, 30 years ago, involving a plane being taken down, supposedly by Cuba. And to top it off, the CIA director was in Havana this week meeting with different Cuban. The last time I think that happened, in all seriousness, I think the last time the CIA director, a CIA director was in Cuba was Alan Dulles back in the 1950s when Bautista was overthrown. I think it goes back that far, and I just started thinking about that. Of, you know, the last time we had a CIA director on the ground meeting with meeting with Cuban officials, we overthrew a government. I wonder if that's what's going to happen this go around.
Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. I looked at a lot of stuff, and it just doesn't make any sense. But it's like, okay, what are we going to do in Cuba now?
Well, you throw on top of that, we were going to maybe talk about this a little later, but I'll throw it in here right now. For the first time in 25 years, the United States military is ramping up their presence in the Panama jungles, training for jungle warfare, Central American jungle warfare. And they're working with the Panamanian military again. This harkens back to what we were doing down in Fort Benning at the School of Americas, where we were training, you know, Latin American countries for that type of jungle warfare. Well, our wars for the last 30 years have been Middle Eastern wars in that type of environment, in, you know, the sandy Middle Eastern world. We haven't really been training for this type of war for the last couple of decades. It's interesting that they're ramping that up now, especially with the move in Venezuela and now the move in Cuba. I don't think that's a coincidence. What do y'all think?
No, I don't think so either. And it would be a completely different type of warfare. I mean, from going to sand hills and camels to snakes and lizards and a jungle. I mean, that would be quite the culture shock. Hey, we got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Warren. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was just going to call in, you know. I've been reading in the book of Jasher, I talked to the book of Jasher that we need Enoch. You know, Enoch reigned over all the kings of the earth 243 years. And there's peace on the earth all 243 years. You know, and we're in the times of Noah now. You know, I only got in the fifth chapter of the book of Jasher. The reason I'm saying that is because all the stuff that's going on, the transgenders, the drag queens, the genetically modifying of our food, all man's doing the same thing he did during the times of Noah. So we have to pray for our nation and pray for the Enoch.
Absolutely.
So God bless you,
good
guys.
Good point. Thanks for calling, Warren.
Great call.
Yeah. Very good point. Always good to hear from Warren. Phone number to call in this morning is 970-224-4203. That's 970-224-4203. I don't know. It just, yeah, I think you're right. I think that it's like, you don't be training for a war scenario, and then not plan on using it. So I think that's very possible. It's like, okay, yep. We plan on invading Cuba. Where else? Venezuela. Who, who knows? Just interesting.
Well, and isn't it interesting that, traditionally, Russia has a pretty strong tie with Cuba, right? So,
yep.
I mean, at least since the Soviet Union days, I think we've seen it wind down a little bit, since the Russian Federation, but still, that's always. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of help forthcoming from Russia for Cuba. And then there's this. It's almost like an under the cover attack on Cuba. I mean, it's definitely the timing is convenient as far as fuel and different things like that. And this may have already been mentioned, but Trump's talking about dropping $100 million into Cuba to help. I don't know what other kind of... I mean, I'm not sure what money does if you can't buy fuel and get it into your country. I mean, maybe selling them fuel. And we're talking about some of these other Central American issues. Venezuela is... they just lost a big refinery. Did you see that down there? Big
yep.
fire and everything. The article I was reading goes, well, the refineries just can't catch a break. And I was like, maybe they're just getting broke. Is someone intentionally breaking them? I tend to suspect that a lot of these attacks on these refineries are more a case of undercover espionage than anything else. They're really trying to, put pressure on international infrastructure. And fuel is one of those uniquely, there's two things that the whole world needs, and one is energy and the other one is what? Food. So it just seems to me, when I back up and look at a macro view, both these things are under major attack. So,
yeah. Well, I just looked up. To me, this just seems insane, because I thought Raul Castro was pretty old. So they're preparing an indictment for him, and I just looked it up and confirmed it. And I knew he was in his 90s, but he is 95 years old.
Wow.
What is? To me, it's like, okay, what is the point? They're going after him for something that happened 30 years ago, supposedly. Starting to prepare an indictment for him. He's living in Cuba and has been retired since 2018. It just seems like a waste to me.
I think it's I think it's an excuse.
Yeah, I think it is too. It's got to be. what it seems. That's for sure.
Who's preparing the indictment, Jason?
U.S. government. That's all I've heard. I read on
The Department of Justice.
Yeah.
And there we go again, as far as how come, Cuba's a, what, it's its own country, but we're going to prepare an indictment for you, which, what does that mean? Unless she travels here, what's the point? Like you said, I mean, the whole thing, it sounds to me like it's more of a political upheaval, economic upset for the country of some kind.
I mean, who knows if the guy's even alive?
Let me remind you guys, Nicolas Maduro was also indicted for some questionable reasons in Venezuela before he swept in and sucked him up, too.
Good point.
The list is long of that situation. I mean, you have Iranian, I mean, it's happened in Iran, you know, it's happened in Iraq, it's happened in, there's multiple places, multiple situations like that. It's like, is that back to democracy for the world, dictatorship for the world? Like, that's their problem. I mean, so, yeah.
I'm still waiting to invade Mexico. That's the one that I mean.
Right.
If we're gonna do this, do that. Let's invade Mexico.
Yeah. Well, they got a Jewish president. They're probably safe for that.
You're 100% right, Tim. You are 100% right. I have thought that this is never gonna happen as long as Sheinbaum has the gavel. We'll never invade who we need to invade.
Yeah, that's the short version.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking of which, because since we're kind of over here, did you guys see that the president, and I'm equal opportunity here. I mean, I think we all agree that the stuff that Trump gets right, we'll say is right, and the stuff that's wrong, we'll certainly say it's wrong. Did you see that? There was a designation of a national Sabbath observance, and that the month of May has been declared as what do they call it? Jewish Heritage Month by the president.
Wow.
Yep. They're calling just kind of going through this. It says the President Donald Trump called on the U.S. to observe a national Sabbath, calling it, quote, Shabbat 250 in honor of the nation's semi-quincentennial this year. It's the first time that a U.S. history that a sitting president has designated such an observance. And I'll read the quote. It's really just inform everybody. In special honor of 250 glorious years of American independence, and on the weekend of Rededicate 250, a national jubilee of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, Jewish Americans are encouraged to observe a national Sabbath, President Trump wrote. This day will recognize the sacred Jewish tradition of setting aside the time for rest, reflection, and gratitude to the Almighty. And it goes on and on and on. But did y'all hear about any of that on the news?
I didn't.
At all?
Nothing.
Yeah, me either. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
No, just crickets. I mean, I didn't hear anything about it. Yeah.
Well, we're at the top of the hour. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns and the Greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew their strength and courage from his power upon high. And cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. years. We have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround us, holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now is the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high and bow to do his will on earth and rise up and defy the lie and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And, well, are we, where do you guys want to go back? You want to go do, national news?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, I was, encouraged. I got the news yesterday and, Tina Peters is getting released. So, praise the Lord for that. And, you know, and I really believe in the power of prayer. And I think it was Kevin last week that on Wednesday night prayer meeting that called in and wanted us to pray for. He said, there's no news and there's nothing. We haven't heard anything about Tina Peters, and let's pray for her to get released. And we did. And praise God. She's getting released. So I was very encouraged by that.
Absolutely. It's about time.
It is about time. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But, yeah, so that was definitely, that was some good news.
I'll throw on top just mainly for the answer of prayer, because Kevin, if in that same conversation Wednesday on prayer service, Jason, if you remember, Kevin was also saying he was concerned about the broadcaster, Hal Turner, wasn't on air, wasn't live on air. And he asked us to pray for Hal Turner. And as it turned out, Hal Turner had 95% blockage and had suffered, I believe, a heart attack. And the next day, he had had the surgeries and that sort of thing and was back home and doing well, supposedly. So in my opinion, that's also an answer.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. I did not know that. I hadn't heard. I was actually going to ask you guys if you had heard anything on any updates on Hal Turner, but that's good. That's very good news.
Kevin shot me an email and actually told me about he was so excited. He said prayer really works. He said, you know, we prayed for Tina Peters, we prayed for Hal Turner, and one's getting released and one's still alive and survived the surgery. So, you know, praise God. So prayer does work, and so that's a good thing to talk about.
Absolutely.
Wow. Absolutely amazing. Yeah, more proof. Prayer works. Hello. Yes.
Yep.
That's a praise report.
Absolutely.
What's the story behind this giant golden statue of Trump in Florida?
You ever thought you would say that, Jason?
Well, no, I didn't. I'm like, yeah, it's like, am I saying this right? I had somebody that called me and asked me if I knew anything about it a couple days ago, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you can't be serious. And they're like, oh, yeah, look it up. But I'm expecting that it's going to be like from the Babylonian Bee or something like that. I mean, one of those kind of news stories. And dang.
It's not.
No.
Yeah, it's a real thing. It is on display at Trump has a golf course down there in Florida. That's the National Doral Golf Resort in Miami, and it is a 22-foot golden. It is bronze that is covered in gold leaf. A 22-foot statue of Donald Trump with his fist raised. And I thought the same thing, Jason, when I first caught this. I thought, well, this isn't true. And it turns out it is. And the thing that's, I guess, really disturbing to me is there's a pastor down there, and I guess he's a spiritual advisor to the president and a longtime friend and that sort of thing of the president. His name is Mark Burns. And I guess this guy spearheaded this, and it was almost a religious ceremony with the ribbon cutting of this thing. And something that I found that I kind of delved into is there was a group of Hasidic Jews from Miami and New York that are a part of this. They fundraise, they raise the money, and they were present during the ribbon cutting for this. And the Hasidic Jews are the ones that, you know, have the funny little curly cues and all of that sort of stuff. And they're ultra Orthodox, and they stood shoulder to shoulder with this evangelical pastor cutting the ribbon for the unveiling of this thing. And not only that, Burns himself personally thanked a guy named Yaakov Fruchten and a guy named Hershey Friedman, and said that it wouldn't have been possible to erect this golden effigy of Trump if not for them. And you kind of look at those things and kind of combine them up, and man, it really doesn't feel good in my spirit. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but typically when people erect golden religious, it doesn't turn out good. And I don't know. I mean, what are y'all's thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the first thing that I thought about was the children of Israel erecting a golden calf and worshiping it.
Well, when I kind of wondered about the Hasidic Jews. I mean, I'd heard of them before, but I went ahead and did some looking up, and the leader of the Hasidic Jews, the name is Ben Eliezer, and but his title that he carries for them is I was like, wow, that just says everything I need to know. His title is Baal, B-A-A-L, Shem Tov. So, and the Bible talks of, yeah, that's what that position he holds is. And doesn't the Bible talk about the Baals? You know, I mean, so it's just like, you can't make this stuff up. You don't have to. It's like, okay, you know.
Talk about in your face.
Yeah. I don't know. The more you know, there you go. I mean, it's like, okay. He's a Baal.
Well, so, and one of the things is, I mean, like, when we, and just looking at the statue, and I don't know, this is just something that, you know, the way that he's standing there with his fists clenched and closed, you know, if when we raise our hands and have our open hands, you know, we're praising the Lord, or, you know, it's a positive gesture. You know, that closed fist, what does that mean?
Yeah, power. I mean, that's kind of what the Black Power salute is, right? So, I mean, or humanistic belief in yourself, pretty much. Resistance.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just like a communistic sort of thing.
Yeah. It's not, it's certainly not a deal of open hand, open heart, open mind toward God or toward, whatever you're.
It's almost like he's shaking his fist at God.
Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
If you wave at someone with an open hand, that is considered a gesture of what, friendliness or non-aggression. But shaking your fist at somebody is just the opposite, right? Yeah.
Well, the deal on shaking his fist at God, if people go and look at this statue, this effigy of Trump is looking into the sky, with his fist raised as if he's looking into heaven. I don't know if you caught that or not, but I mean, it's not a level stare, his head is tilted slightly upward as if to the heavens. And that's what I thought was, almost a challenge to God.
Wow. Yeah.
How long before you think somebody tears this thing down?
Or defaces it. Something.
Or defaces it, or a bolt of lightning catches it. I don't know. Gold's a pretty good conductor.
Yeah, that's a good question. Probably not all that long. So.
Yeah. It's ridiculousness. Just intensified. I don't know, hard to believe the world we're living in, but it is what it is. So
yeah, well, and we got all these people. It's like, and I tell you what, it's boy, you gotta have discernment, because it's like, how do you pray for some of these people in authority? I've been using the prayer filter. I've been, trying, because I want to be praying for these people and that are in office. And just sometimes you just don't know exactly how. But I was encouraged, and I have been felt led to lift up RFK and to be praying for him and what he is doing. And I'll tell you what, that man is just he's going after giants, pharmaceutical companies left and right. And I was encouraged about him going after the antidepressants drugs this last week. And he spoke out publicly against them, said that there's no medical reason for them to be prescribing the antidepressants the way that they are. And basically said that they're just handing them out like candy, which is, it's an epidemic in this land. And it's something that we've seen all over. I mean, it is mind-boggling how many people are on this stuff. We were talking about that, just, Adderall and people have been, the problems. And it's like, somebody's that's 30 years old, but they've been on it for 18 years. I mean, we're going way back. Yeah. It's just, just insanity. It's like, I've talked to people that have talked to their doctor and said, hey, I want to get off of this. And the doctors are like, I'd advise against that. That's kind of what a drug dealer does. You got somebody that's hooked on meth and they want to get off of meth. The drug dealer doesn't want them to get off of meth. And to me, it's crazy. It's insanity. And, and at the same time, I was thinking this week and, the world would be a whole lot more depressing if I wasn't a Christian. And
amen.
Maybe I'd need the drugs too. You look at these people that they have no faith. What is there to look forward to? The world would be depressing.
Well, and when the deed's done in darkness or shouted from the rooftops, you know, a lot of times people are like, but you're look, you know, when you begin to look at it, you're like, exactly, the deeds done in darkness were evil deeds, you know, and when they began to be exposed, it's going to be somewhat troubling. I mean, you know, and it's going to... that's when we have to turn to our God and say, thank you, God, for exposing these events. And it has to come to pass. The Bible talks about it, because they're gonna get their comeuppance. But, see that as, you know, every time you go in, these conspiracies and everything that have all come true, basically. I mean, it's an amazing to me. I've lived long enough to see a lot of things. When you used to say stuff, people were like, oh, that's great. You know, I mean, what's wrong with you? You were some kind of conspiracy theorist nut. And now we're running out of conspiracies really fast. You know, it's kind of like, it's all true. And I
crazy
think,
before crazy.
But it does. That puts into a ripe environment for these antidepressants, because without God, it can be a depressing thing. With God, you should see that as each one of these is actually a victory, not a loss. It's a victory that they're being exposed. It's a victory that those things are being brought into the daylight. So,
I truly think Robert Kennedy, and, you know, we talked about on this program of Robert Kennedy when he was nominated. He gave his testimony, and he went out and told the world that he had every day of his life would get on his knees in the morning and pray to God that he be given a platform to tackle these plagues that were ruining the American society. And I think that guy is on a mission from God. I really believe that. I think he is heaven sent. And I'm not saying that Robert Kennedy Jr. is a perfect human being. He's not. I think he's a very flawed human being, and I'm sure he would tell you the same thing. But we know that our God uses flawed men to do his work here. And I think Robert Kennedy Jr. is doing the work of the Lord. You know, and we were talking earlier about the Book of Enoch and, you know, what these fallen angels taught. And I think Pharmakia was a part of that. I think that those mysteries and that sort of stuff was passed on to men, and it was never intended to be. And I think it is a tool of the devil. And I think to have a man in such a high-profile position that's going to war with the devil and shaming the devil in this pharmakia is just a godsend. And Jason, you're right. Every one of us should be praying for Robert Kennedy. First off, for his safety. You know, there's unfortunately a real history in that family of those guys not surviving public office. And we should be praying for his safety, and we should be praying for his strength. And truthfully, we should be praying for Trump to leave him alone. And not remove him from the position that he's in.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things that I've been concerned about too, especially when he started going after the glycophosphates and different things like that. He's painted a big target on himself, and I mean, I got to tell you, that guy's got balls, and I really respect him. He's taking on giants. We need to keep praying for him. But I mean, you look at how these doctors, these pill pushers, do so much of that. I mean, and it comes in so subtly. It's like, okay, well, this is going to help you. This, if you're having a little bit of a rough time, you know, maybe you need some of this. And, you know, pretty soon it's like, okay, well, then you need something to sleep, and then you need something to wake up, and you need something for the daytime, and you need something for nighttime. And, you know, they've got you hooked on so many things that your body doesn't know, and your body becomes dependent on it very quickly, whereas, you know, you quit that stuff cold turkey, I mean, it could kill you instantly.
And God's wonderful creation, he created antidepressants that are inside our body, you know, with serotonin and adrenaline and different body chemicals that we naturally produce if you're eating right, you're exercising, you're living your life right. And what happens is when you introduce these SRI drugs, these serotonin and reuptake inhibitors, our body stops producing those things. It will actually start shutting down because it's artificially using these things that are being introduced into your body, so that when you do try to come off of them, you feel 10 times worse than you did before you started taking them. And when you feel 10 times worse as far as the depression or whatever, what does the doctor tell you? Well, we're going to have to put you on a stronger dosage, and you go right back on them. And, I'm not a doctor, but I will tell you, man, there is probably a 1% actual need for antidepressants. 99% of the time, you don't need them. You need to get out in the sunshine and move and work, and that's what your body thrives on, to produce naturally these chemicals that actually make you feel good. And turn the blasted television off and go for a walk in God's creation. You would be surprised. God made that creation. Remember, we were supposed to tend the garden and walk in the garden in harmony with God, and we're still supposed to do that. Get out into nature, walk around, enjoy God's creation, and you'll be surprised. You'll feel better. I promise. I promise you'll feel better.
I second that 100%. I tell you what, I have been just getting active. I've been riding a bike quite a bit with my children. That's what they like to do, and we go on bike rides. We got bike trails not too far from us, and I love it. I mean, I love spending time with my children, but it's getting out, getting your heart rate going, sweating, it is amazing what it does for your mind and your body.
Yep. You know what you just said there, Jason, is, you know, people pay really good money for antioxidants so they can detox. Well, what do you think sweating is?
Right.
Sweating is one of God's natural ways of detoxing your body. You're moving the waste out of your body, and maybe we should just try that. That's free, you know. Go out and do that, you know.
The enemy would have you think, contrary to it. They try to put in, all the aluminum in the deodorant that fills your pores so that you don't sweat, and, you know, antiperspirant. Yep. They are completely antiperspirant, and, you know, I don't know. No wonder we got so many health problems. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller. Hello, are you there? Okay. I guess they didn't want to talk to us. Anyway, the phone number is 970-224-4203. Go ahead. Where were we at?
Well, just to get in on the action and get my two cents in, as far as I'm not a doctor either, but you kind of notice that everybody who takes these antidepressants, that the first thing it does is shut them off. They become compliant. They become inactive, which is in agreement with what you guys are saying. And they just no longer have any zest for life. You know, I mean, it's like if they're really lucky, they are programmed enough to be able to go to work and work their 8-hour factory shift or whatever it is and get back home. And, you know, there's no engagement in day-to-day life. I mean, you go back to that, God says to occupy. I mean, that's an engagement in things that are going on. Does some of this stuff we talk about make you mad? Does some of it make you sad? Does some of it upset you? That's a good thing. I mean, definitely needs to be committed to God and kept in check in a positive sort of way, but it's like, the Bible says be angry and sin not. I mean, it doesn't say, be an automaton. So there's a lot of things like that that go on. It's like you need some engagement in life. So, yeah. And that takes it all away.
And Tim, you're spot on, too. You're talking about the eight-hour factory shift or whatever. That's, in my opinion, all on purpose, right? You don't get daylight, you don't get sunlight in those type of environments. It's the same monotonous one thing, you know, after the next. Every day is the same. You put on top of that, you know, these different medicines that just zap it out of you. And you go home, and the only thing you can afford to eat is, you know, this goy slop that's ultra processed and stuff. They really are. We're just beasts of burden on a tax farm, and that's all they want from us. And that is not God's plan for your life. You know, break free of that. I think I would rather work a minimum wage job mowing grass than to get locked up in a factory somewhere. You know, we call those prisons, as far as I'm concerned. But hey, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
We've got a caller on the line. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Hey, this is Harvey. That was not me that called a minute ago that you got the dial.
You're calling and hanging up on us, huh?
Prankster. I took Adderall or a generic of thereof for a little over 30 years, not for ADHD, but for narcolepsy. So I could stay awake to have a job to raise kids. And finally, 9 years ago this spring, I put on 40 pounds in 3 months. And people said, oh, you fatty, you just eat too much. I said, you can't eat enough to gain 40 pounds in 3 months. You know, if you have a job and you're working and you're active. So I finally go to the doctor, and he went, wow. I know you've had kidney issues your whole life, but now this has accelerated your kidney issues. You've got COPD. You're in congestive heart failure. We've got to take you off of that stuff that keeps you awake right now. So then they cold turkey you off of that, and you live like a zombie. It's a miserable life. You can't. It's that kind of sleepy. You're not tired. You're sleepy, and there's a difference. And you're that kind of sleepy when somebody wakes you up and you don't even know where you are or why you're there. I was living that kind of sleepy so much of the time, it was just a miserable life. I finally went back to the doctor and said, I'd rather die awake than live like a zombie, so give me something. He said, it'll put you in an early grave. What did I just tell you? I'd rather die awake than live like a zombie. But it was from taking that with narcolepsy, your brain produces a chemical called hypocretin, and that is what keeps people alert. It offsets sleep deficit is the term the doctors use. And my brain does not produce hypocretin, so I have nothing to keep me awake, so I'm sleepy all the time. And so that's another thing about that Adderall and all of those kinds of things that, like one of the generics they would give me was methylphenidate. Well, what's the first four letters in the name of that?
Meth.
You know? The another one thing they would give me was amphetamine salts. Well, you know, the name of that doesn't sound any better, but you take it because you're raising kids and you're trying to stay awake and until you gain 40 pounds in 3 months because your body quits eliminating fluid. And then the doctor said, here, wear this little oximeter thing on the end of your finger. Take your O2 stats every 15 minutes for 2 days at work. Bring it back to me then the third morning. So I don't know what it's supposed to be, so I write them down every 15 minutes for 2 days. I go back, and he said, I'll call them and tell them you're never coming back. Your blood oxygen stuff is in the 60s. Sometimes it would reach the 70s, but it never even approached 80. So the only thing they could attribute it to was taking those, you know, those stimulants for over 30 years to stay awake, to try to have a job, to raise a family. They're dangerous drugs. And yes, the long-term effects, I am living proof of.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I mean, I really think that a lot of these doctors, they're just practicing. They're practicing medicine, you know, and instead of, you know, trying to get people well. And I think that there's a lot of things. I've seen a lot of things. I've seen a lot of miracles where people have been on the pharmacia and went that route for a long period of time. And then it's like, okay, they finally, you know, and to me, it's amazing how many people when the doc, they start looking for something else when they go to their doctor and says, what else can I do? And the doctor's like, well, that's about all we can do. You know, we've done everything that we can know how to do. And then they're like, okay. And then they start going down this rabbit trail and finding out, hey, what can I do and how can I change something? And they find something and they change their, I mean, I've seen people that are pre-diabetic and people that have had kidney failure, people that have cancer, that they are, they do something, they do a natural cure and they're healed and they go back and they're so excited and they want to go tell their doctor and they go back and tell their doctor and they're like, hey doc, I want to tell you about this. This worked. It cured my cancer. It got me where I don't need to take insulin. It does this for me or does that for me. And the doctor's like, they don't want to hear it. And you know, and it puzzles them, and they can't figure out why. Why this doctor? You know, doctor is supposed to be there to help people, and they don't want to know anything about this.
The liver doctor that told me you are in catastrophic liver failure, and she said, bring in everything you're taking, and I took in the supplements, I took in all the things. I was saying, why are you taking these? And she says, they only teach us about petroleum-based pharmaceuticals in med school. I know nothing about these supplements. I know nothing about this alternative medication. I don't know anything about it, but I want you to quit taking it. I said, so what are you going to give me? There's only one FDA-approved medication for a liver that's in the condition yours is, and it won't do you any good, so I'm not going to give you anything.
There you go.
That's the answer. When I asked my regular general practitioner, his answer was, that's not in my wheelhouse. They give you no answers for anything other than the petroleum-based pharmaceuticals that go all the way back to John D. Rockefeller in 1913.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I had a good friend of mine, and he came, and he's like, hey, I need some help. I've got blood pressure issues. He had been on blood pressure medication, lisinopril, and he was he had to up his dose like three times, and he said, came, and we were talking, and he's like, I don't want to do this. And I told him, I said, well, I'm not a doctor, but if it was me, this is what I would do. And I talked to him about the beet juice and the garlic and some enzymes, and he started doing it. He took it and he started working out, and he was doing the beets and the garlic, and he got down where he was checking his blood pressure, and he didn't need any of his blood pressure medicine, and he wasn't taking it, and he went on for two or three months not taking a single pill, single dose of his blood pressure medicine, doing everything naturally, and was excited about it, went and seen his doctor, and his doctor looked at him and said, you're crazy. He said, you can't do this. He said, you're going to die if you do this. You need to, the stuff that you're taking and what you're doing, the beets and the garlic, he says, that will actually make your blood pressure go up, and you're poisoning yourself. He said, I don't want you taking a single supplement. The only thing that I would agree with is I would take one capsule of fish oil a day. And it scared him so bad that he came home and he quit taking all of his supplements and he went back on the drugs. And
wow.
It was that doctor scared him so much. And I'm talking to him and I'm like, you were off. You monitored your blood pressure. You were taking it. You were didn't have to take anything for months. And the doctor is trying to tell you that this, none of this stuff works, and if you keep doing this, you're going to die. And he said, yep. And I said, well, I said, the guy's nuts. And he's like, well, I got to do what the doctor says. And
wow.
I mean, just, I mean, it, to me, it's like, it's got to be the spell casting, you know, it's just, I don't know, but it happens.
That's faith in the wrong thing,
yeah.
In the wrong people.
Exactly.
To give you guys a plug,
yep.
The stuff that I have gotten from you guys through Tim has helped me far more than the doctors that I thought I could trust for decades. They got nothing for you, and I'm getting better. And like Tim told me, took a long time to get this way. You're not going to get well overnight. You know, I don't have a magic wand.
That's right.
To keep taking this stuff. So, as a plug to you guys, you guys are the ones that are helping me heal. So thank you.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
But thank you.
Oh, yeah, I don't know where I'd be without you guys. It wouldn't be good.
Well, the Lord chooses the weak and the foolish, and, well, we qualify.
We qualify.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling, Harvey. We really appreciate it.
I'm at least one of those. Yeah.
You bet.
All right. Call back again. I didn't get to the phone in time. 970-224-4203. Go ahead and give us a call. I apologize. I went to reach and hit the button and did not get to it in time. No, I think that that's one of the, I mean, you know, one of the best things that you can do for your health is if you're not taking care of your health, you're not going to feel good. Well, let's go to the phone lines. There we go. I got the button pushed this time. Hello. Hello, caller.
Hey, Jason. This is Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Eric Johnson. I'm a long-time SSA guy.
Yeah, I got letters from you. I appreciate you calling. Okay. Nice.
Okay, I have been guy. Nature, my dad kind of taught me all the birds, weeds, plants, edible plants, everything. I like natural health and healing. I like being self-sufficient. I have seen old dictionaries made before 1950, and you look at the word pharmaceutical, it says it's from the Greek word meaning to practice witchcraft. And the second meaning is poisoner. And also have seen a picture of these Greek temples, the one on an island. It was destroyed except for the entryway, and either side of the doorway was a caduceus, the two wings on top of the two wings going on a pole coming up. That's their symbol. And I don't know who it was. I think it's Mike Adams, the health ranger.
Yep.
I think found it from him, his website, from him or something, that it was the Temple of Hermes. And it's the Temple of Hermes. He said that Hermes was the messenger between the gods and the messenger of death, among other things, which to me says that's a perfect symbol for the medical people in this country. And when you tell them about all these successes you have with natural health and healing and helping people's liver problems with milk thistle, and you know, I've got a bunch of them growing now, but I know that it'll save their lives. Just a 50-cent piece of liver is still good. It'll allow the liver to operate with less oxygen, and it starts the healing immediately. And in this country, they just want to do a liver transplant. In other countries, in Europe, they give you an injection of silymarin from milk thistle seeds. You get the milk thistle seeds. It takes second year to start to produce seed and flower. And you grind them up with your grain mill. Use grain alcohol and tincture it, and that's the medicine for liver people. There's so much to learn, and all the natural health and healing. There's no incurable disease. I believe they're right. I've got all these weeds on my property here, and all the time I'm seeing all these different weeds, and I see they're all from Europe. Pioneers brought them with them. It's, you know, just what we call weeds now, all over the place. And, well, anyway, the medical system, like you say, John D. Rockefeller swayed Congress to go with a German allopathic drug system about 1910. Anybody else that's died of cancer since then died in combat, I think. And the natural healers we've had here, the herbalists like John Christopher, he got his stuff right from the Almighty. And Schultz said that if he didn't know what was not working for somebody to make them, the body heal, he immediately went into prayer, and God told him, like, almost immediately how to change this, the formula, or add something to it. And God was on him his entire life. He's a little kid, John Christopher. And information is disappearing now. They're trying to get rid of everything. And it's pretty cool. I believe in medical pharmacopoeia is medical. It was never supposed to be this, you know, evil witchcraft stuff. The poisoners, the killers. Yeah, I think the rest of the world, developed countries, are all healthier than this country. We're the most unhealthy people. And I think there's more people dying of malnutrition and dehydration than any time since the Reconstruction. You know, Richard Hoskins says between 5 million and 5.5 million people died during Reconstruction. You know, they wanted to wipe out the Christians. And he said the northern states, like the northeastern, had de-Christianized the nation. There's countries for the country by the 1830s, 200 years ago. And I could tell you a million things, but I better get off.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the call.
No.
Nice to hear from you.
Awesome call.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Have a good day. God bless.
Oh, you too. You too. You too. Bye.
And phone lines are open again, 970-224-4203. I know Kevin tried calling in while we were on that phone call, so
there's Kevin.
There's Kevin. Hey, Kevin.
Well, it's me. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. Hey. It's wonderfully informative broadcast this morning, Will, Jason, and Tim. Thank you.
Thank you.
These testimonies about health, thank you very much, man, for calling in, everyone. Have you heard that the Palm Beach International Airport is being changed to Donald John Trump International Airport, effective July 9th?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And,
yep.
And now the tickets will say DJT, so everybody will know where they're going. When we got that information for that House Bill 8445, I listened to the end of that Sean Hannity show sometimes in the afternoon. And I called last week and asked if I could talk about that bill. And a woman, his sidekick, screener, says, "What's it about?" And I said, "It's about recognizing people who volunteer for the IDF, et cetera, getting veterans benefit." And said, so I held on the line till like last 10 minutes and said, "Well, we don't have time to talk with you." Okay. So I called back yesterday, got the same woman, and said the same thing. And this plane cut me off. We're not talking about that subject today. So.
Yeah. Kev, let me go ahead and read it so that our listeners know what you're talking about. It's House Bill 8445, and this bill provides eligibility to U.S. citizens who are serving in the Israeli Defense Forces for benefits and the protections available under the Uninformed Services Employment and Re-Employment Rights Act, USERRA, and the Service Member Civil Relief Act, SCRA. Specifically, the bill requires the service of such citizens to be regarded in the same manner as the service in the uniformed service under USERRA or military service under SCRA. So basically, I'm not surprised that they didn't want to talk about it.
No, me either. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and not me either.
And Kevin, the lady told you she doesn't want to talk about it today. I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're not going to want to talk about it tomorrow either, or the next day.
No, next week if I get a chance, I'm going to ask them about the great Israeli tour. Selling off stolen lands out of Palestine and the West Bank, and I don't think I would go over too big either. Did you read this morning that the IDF has killed the chief of Hamas, architect of October 7th?
No, I did not.
No.
Yeah, they had a special hit on Gaza City, and. But that's another falsehood too, isn't it? Who's the architect of that? It was not that Hamas man. I just can't believe it at all. And lastly, I wanted to make a confession. I've always loved baseball. So for my idle time, living alone, I follow the Cleveland baseball team. And I can watch it on my computer, and I'll do other stuff, keep it going. They run these little spot ads between innings, and they have commercials running in those little spot ads expressing how 1 in 3 or 4, something like 1 in 3 or 1 in 7 Jewish children are faced with anti-Semitism in their life. it just don't quit, does it? You know, they got their money in there and stuff. So, well, I made my public confession, but I'm still going to keep watching. I love baseball. Well, that's fact. Yes.
Well, maybe we can work toward making it 3 out of 3.
That's what I was going to say. Can we get those stats up a little bit?
Yeah. Hal Turner posed a question last night that just wondering, could Trump actually be the person to bring in the New World Order? If you think about it, give it some deep thought that it is a possibility. He's actually doing the work that he's actually claiming to stop. So it's something to think on.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
I love you, man. All the people on Scriptures for America. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Kevin. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Bye.
Well, always good to hear from Kevin.
Yeah. Great call-ins this morning.
Yeah.
Man.
That's what I know, and I got that message several times. People are like, yeah, you need to give out the phone number. I'm like, okay, I'm trying. anyway, we got, I don't know, about 15 minutes left. Not even 15 minutes left, 13 minutes left. But, yeah, if anybody would like to call in, phone number 970-224-4203. We'll go back to you, Will.
I just want to give just a quick 2 cent on, you know, what Eric called in and Harvey and Kevin and what we were talking about with RFK. And I just want to share this. You know, we've all heard that, you know, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. And one of the things I wanted to share was just Psalms 104. And this is verse 14, and it said, he, and that's God, causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man. So we are told from the beginning that herbs were there, put there from God for us, for our service. And it's not any kind of hippy-dippy new world thing. This is what we should be doing as believers.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Hello, caller.
Kevin again. One question. You gentlemen were talking about a good decaf instant coffee. What is the brand? I buy one out of Germany called Mount Hagen.
That's it.
Oh,
yep.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah,
and I got your email, Kevin, and I emailed you back. Did you not get my email?
Evidently I didn't, but I've enjoyed that for several years.
It's fantastic. I love it. Yeah, I didn't know about it until Will told me about it, and I got some of that, and I'm like, I'm thoroughly impressed with it. It's by hands down the best instant coffee that I've ever I've ever had.
Yeah, a real creative jar, too, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yep.
They make single serve sticks, too, that you can carry around in your pocket. But it's a perfect for one cup of coffee. I know because I've had five of those this morning, and they work great.
No doubt. So.
Yep.
I like what you said, yeah. Will, and I think I believe the same thing, and I think that that's what we're supposed to be doing. And you know, it's you think right when you're feeling right, when you're eating healthy and you're getting your exercise, and and they don't want people. I think it's one of those, you know, plots of the enemy also. They don't want people healthy. They want people on the antidepressants, glued to the boob tube, and that's what they want.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
Just my kind of side note, healing is a faith-based occupation at the end of the day. That's what it is. And if you think about it, the doctors are, you know, the prophets in the Bible, read the story how John the Baptist dressed, what he wore, his official garb. You know, the doctors, they wear all these gowns and masks, just like the Judeo-Christian ministers or the everything else. They've got all their fancy body dots because that puts them above you and everything else. And the religion of Jesus Christ and of God the Father, they were ordinary guys. I mean, they dressed just like everyone else. It wasn't how they were dressed that was important or that gave them status. It was the faith and the power of Jesus Christ, of God the Father. And when you look at this, I think it becomes, you know, more, what would be the right word? Apparent that, you know, everything they do leads to a cascade failure of the body. They don't heal. They don't help.
They're destroyers.
Yeah, the Hippocratic Oath. So you take, you know, and go look that up and really look up who Hippocrates really was and all that. I mean, to me, it's just another conspiracy that's not, but, you know, it's a fact, but it's there and it does exist. Are there good doctors out there who care about people? Yes, but still. I'm talking about the overall majority view of the situation. So, just a quickie side note.
Jason, if you'll permit me, I know we're getting close to the end of the show, and we can maybe chalk this up for a prepper tip of the week because it's become the theme of the latter half of the show here, and I just want to talk about this really in 60 seconds. If folks out there that are listening, if you're not familiar with something called berberine, it's B-E-R-B-E-R-I-N-E, berberine. Berberine is a naturally occurring plant alkaloid that has been used in traditional medicine by our people for hundreds and hundreds of years. It is becoming popular now again, and berberine is an amazing supplement. It is a natural weight loss supplement. It regulates insulin, it regulates metabolism, it regulates blood sugar. There's something called AMPK, which is
That's the fat burning part of the of your metabolism. But it also enhances insulin sensitivity. It helps lower blood sugar for people that are diabetic. And the one of the other amazing things is it lowers LDL, the bad cholesterol. And it does all of this naturally. And this has really been suppressed for a long, long time. These GLP-1 drugs, these, you know, the fat shots that everybody's taking that loses all, you know, makes you lose all of these weights artificially. That's what this does. And it does it in a very natural way that's synergetic with your body. And if you combine that with cinnamon extract, those two things work in lockstep with one another, in harness with one another, and you will notice the difference. I highly recommend berberine and cinnamon extract. If you're looking to keep your weight down, if you're looking for energy, if you're struggling with insulin dependency or whatever, it's excellent. And I just want to put that out there for people to research and make up their own mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And those are products that we are excited about. We're waiting on, we've got labels put together and getting our stuff manufactured, and we are going to be carrying it. And I'm really excited about it. Those are two products that I have been using for, I don't know, probably about 6 months, maybe longer than that. But I got a berberine combination that had the cinnamon in it, and that's what I started taking just to, blood sugar issues. It just, my schedule is crazy, and sometimes I forget to eat, and blood sugar was just not balanced out very good. I have ups and downs on it, and since I started taking that, somebody said, "Hey, try this," and I tried it, and it was like absolutely amazing to me. Just of what it did as far as just everything's just stayed balanced. You didn't have the highs and you didn't have the lows, and had more energy, and I'm sold on it. Think it's a phenomenal product. And I told another person about it. They tried it. They said they had fantastic results. Their doctor was planning on putting them on insulin. They got on it within 3 weeks. They did not have any fluctuation in their blood sugar, and they did not go on insulin. To me, that's huge. I don't want to be. Number one, I hate needles. I can't stand needles. I am just one of those. They give me the heebie-jeebies. I'm like, get that thing away from me. And I can't imagine being having to do injections all the time to, number one, to check your blood sugar, and then also to be injecting that insulin. Nothing I want to have anything to do with.
A needle.
Yes,
studying those needles is a whole another rabbit trail in and of itself. I mean, but it's legit. I don't want anything to do with me either. And the other thing about most of the stuff we're talking about is if it doesn't help for some strange reason, it sure won't hurt,
Right.
So
that's right.
Which the allopathic medicine, they can't say that. I mean, when you get into that. So there's times there that it doesn't help, and it literally kills people. I mean, look the statistics up for allopathic causes of death. I mean, it's astronomical. I mean, it's one of the highest causes of death in the world. So, drug interactions and allergies and things like that. And, very rare in God-based healing. So, God gave us that to help us out.
Amen. Well, we only got about a minute or so left. Closing thoughts, men.
What a good day.
It's a great day.
It is.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Great day.
Well, thanks, men, for being here this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And
you bet.
Thanks, Remnant, for tuning in and listening to us. You can join us if you'd like to. for church tomorrow by going to www.scriptures4america.org. We're going to have a new message for you and a timeless pulpit truth message. And look forward to being there tomorrow. And, yeah, have a good weekend, folks. Take care.